This is The Stark Truth, hosted by Robert Stark. Brought to you by StarkTruthRadio.com. Robert Stark is an American journalist and political commentator. You can listen to his podcast at www.StarkTruthRadio.com.
This is Robert Stark. I'm joined here with Shankar Singham. He's the executive director of Independent California, an advocate for California independence, and also an author, graphic artist, and musician. Shankar, it's great having you on.
Hi, Robert. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
To start things off, can you give us some background information about yourself, and when did you start seeing yourself more as a Californian, like a need for nationhood for California, and then also the overall background on the organization, Independent California?
Certainly. My parents came to California, to San Francisco in 1980 or 1981, and we lived up there up until I was about 6 or 7 years old, until my father got a job down here in Southern California, and I've lived here in Orange County since. I've called it my home. My background, I mean, you know, my father was a textile chemist, so he produced clothing, designed clothing, made clothing, not really designed it. And I got into the industry as well. And in that industry, you tend to travel everywhere, not India, China, parts of Europe sometimes, South America. And, you know, in those travels, when you meet people, I found that when people asked where I was from or knew where I was from, the United States or an American, the reception was just very cordial and very, you know, businesslike. If a smile, great. But the second I noticed that I said, I'm from California, the conversation lifted. It was just, a smile came on their face. So they wanted to know if I knew Arnold Schwarzenegger, how many movie stars have I seen? Where's Disneyland? I mean, the conversation just eased up, and now we can do business, you know, with small, there wasn't this tension in the air. And I noticed that early on, I mean, I was probably maybe in my 30s when I noticed that doing traveling already for maybe 5-6 years. And it got to the point where I just said, I'm from California when I was traveling abroad. It was just an easier way of meeting new people. And then at that point, I didn't think too much of it. I didn't think too much of it. And then fast forward over to 2016, the Democratic Party showed its real face and its true colors.
So you're more sympathetic to a Bernie Sanders supporter, but you're critical of the Democratic establishment?
Oh, absolutely, and Bernie Sanders included. Absolutely.
So you're totally nonpartisan in the group Independent California is too?
Oh, we have all kinds of people in our organization. Of course, yeah, most of it lean left because this is California. This is the left coast. But no, we have Republicans, lots of libertarians, real libertarians. In fact, I would consider myself, after many discussions, I would consider myself a socialist libertarian, if that would partake. That would be the label of political ideology I would follow. But no, in the org, it's a plethora of political ideologies. It's not this isn't a left or right thing. This isn't identifying yourself with a specific group of people.
Because interesting, it's specifically about California rather than just creating a nation out of the blue states.
Look, what we're trying to do, yeah, we would encourage other states to do as well, which would be to the overall end goal is to decrease the power of the federal government. That's the end goal. But no, this isn't a blue state, red state thing at all, because California is not like any of the other blue states. It's far more left than the other states that would even consider themselves blue at all. It's not our conservatives. Let's put it this way. Our conservatives would be considered liberal in the rest of the United States. And they have been called liberal in the rest of the United States. Our conservatives here are more towards our side than the rest of the United States. If you follow what I mean, I'm thinking of a certain example here. Oh, here we go. So our conservatives are pro-choice. Our conservatives are open immigration. Our conservatives aren't what you see at the rest of the United States, what you see on the news as far as coming from the right wing over there. Our conservatives, you know, they can understand and have some sentiment towards what the rest of the country right-wingers are feeling, but they understand what happens here in California and how we function here. I don't want to delve into those topics too much yet, I guess, but California itself is just a different people, a different sort of ideas, how we view war, how we view the environment, how we view global trade. It's just different than the rest of the United States. It's not the same. In fact, what the United States has been doing lately is it's been hampering our growth and stunting it. And we just really feel that independence would allow us to have our wings come out and really take off, because you know, this attachment it's not conducive anymore. And that's the point of independent California and the other groups in the CalExit movement. So
can you give some more information about how independent California was started? Was it an offshoot of another CalExit group? There's a number of different ones. There's Yes California, and then there's also there's actually a political party called the California National Party, which is discussing actually running candidates.
Yes. So so Yes California, that would be Marcus, kicked the ball off finally. And you know, when he came out and was saying this independence, everything clicked for me. It was like, oh my God, you know, my whole life, I never felt American. I never felt like an American. And I grew up, I love the United States. I said the pledge every morning at school. You know, I mean, I loved Ronald Reagan. But as you grow up, especially the last 20 years, you just see this decline in the States where our values are just being ripped away. And so when Marcus came out and identified himself as independent California, it hit me in the head. You know what? I'm not an American. I'm a Californian. I am a Californian before I'm an American. And when I said that, is when I dove into it headstrong, because I felt that this really needed to happen. So I joined Yes California, and after their initiative, I joined the California National Party first and found out that they really had their hands tied unless independence happened. So I joined Yes California, pushed the initiative. After the election and Trump won, I started up the California Freedom Coalition with some chapters up north, because Yes was just done. And we filed another initiative for independence. And out of that group, the California Freedom Coalition, we started Independent California. So now we have about four groups, maybe five groups. But the thing is, five groups actually we do, because I am also on the board of the Independent California Institute, which is our think tank based up north in San Jose. All of these groups have their strengths, though, Robert. I mean, you've got Yes California, which is which started the whole thing off, and it's a great media, and it's a great great media and great press. You have California National Party, which does all of the who endorses endorsing candidates, political office, any local legislation, they're going to put there. In fact, we already have a few people already in office that had to run as Democrat or are California CMP members. And that number is growing. In fact, we had a list of 16 candidates this last run running. I don't think any of them won, though. I think one of them is still campaigning, though. But 16 candidates. That's CMP. And then you have my group, Independent California 501c4. We are we're an advocacy group. So we actually go out and we help a lot of other nonprofits realize what happened, as long as it's a California value. So if we'll help immigration rights groups, we help deported veterans, we've helped the nurses with universal health care. So any non-organization that needs help, that's what IC is there for, to help them progress. And then we have the Independent California Institute. That's a policy think tank organization, which I'm on the board of. And they crunch numbers. They just put out a study on where our California tax dollars really go in the United States. How much of it do we get back? Are we the biggest donor? Where does that money go once it's in the federal government? We realize that, you know, every single year we pay more into the federal government than we get back. And now we know where it's being spent. We want to keep that money here. So that's the Institute. And who am I forgetting? Am I forgetting anybody? Institute, Independent California, CMP, ES California, and the CFC. You know, that's it. That's everybody.
You're launching a petition drive, an initiative for statehood. Can you talk about your petition? And is this up on your website?
It's a game changer. How we're doing this petition. Well, you'll be the first to know, also, Robert. So just keep an eye, because I'll know in the next day or two for sure. The petition. This is the third petition about independence, but this is a very lightweight petition. The first two were asking for, one was straight up secession. The second one was asking for our own Supreme Court and our own foreign policy. And this one is a very watered down. Can we form a commission in California to find out the benefits or the negative of being independent from the United States? Where would our finances be? What would our military look like? Water, where would we, are we okay with water? I can actually answer all these questions already, but I think a commission, a public commission set up to find out this information and then make it available to the public to know that there is an option, that we're not stuck under this big umbrella, that you don't have to pay enormous taxes like we do here in California and get nothing back in return. So that's basically it. And we hope that it gets out there. A lot more Californians find it, read it and sign it, because it doesn't mean independence, but it means, hey, let's talk about it. So
would you need approval from the Attorney General or Secretary of State?
So we've already got it approved. It's already approved by the AG. He's released it. He's summarized it. We haven't put it up on the website yet. It is available. If you want, I can email it to you. He summarized it. It's up. It's available. Right now, we are having them printed up. The font's got to be a certain size for the AG, and then the rest of the text has to be another certain size. We just want everything needs to be perfect. This is our third one. I remember this had to reprint. So this time, no mistakes. Perfectly this time, because once it goes up, it's up. And we don't want to have people mail it back in again and then have to mail them out another one. So in the next few days here, my friend, and same with our website. Our website, there's an old one's up right there. We're having it all revamped again to make it more conducive to the initiative. So, but our website is www.independentca.org.
So the next step is getting it on the ballot. So let's just say hypothetically, it's on the ballot and it passes. Then what would be the next, like, would be the legal process with negotiating with the United States? And would it require a constitutional amendment or consent from the federal government or the rest of the U.S. states?
Okay. So the next step after this petition is it goes to vote in California. Okay. So it's got to pass the vote in California first. So that's coming 2024, right? So say we get the signatures, we submit it. Now it goes onto the ballot for Californians to vote on. Do we form a commission? It passes. Okay, I know where you're leading your question, so I'll just phrase it as if it's happening. It passes the ballot vote. All right, 60% of Californians vote for the commission to form. The commission forms. Okay, it shows that California is going to be, you know, past the stars and higher. I mean, just a hand over fist on full of money. Blah 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 blah. We're doing great. So Californians now want to become independent. Now, what do we do? How do we separate from the United States? So there's so many ways there's a lot of tools in that toolbox. The founding fathers made it that way of the United States. They seceded from England. They gave this option out. They gave this option free and clear. It isn't until later on did amendments be added to the Constitution that that didn't allow states to secede. So if California wants to become an independent nation, currently, according to U.S. law, they would have to get two-thirds of the federal Congress to agree to it. That is U.S. federal law. They'd have to get two-thirds of the U.S. Congress to agree with it on both houses.
I'm not sure how Republicans would react, because some of them would want to get rid of California, but I would think there would be pretty staunch opposition from Democrats in the eastern states.
So, well, first of all, I couldn't care what the Democrats in the eastern states think. They've had their chance to do what they need to do to take control of their state, and we're not going to sit. I'm just tired of sitting here and just and holding their hand. As far as the Republicans, yeah, they love to hate California, and I'm sure on the Republican they despise us, and you know, we make laws which affect their lives. But you know what they love even more, Robert? They love our money. So as much as they will say they don't like us and they want us to leave and they want us to fall into the ocean, they should tell that to their congressman, because the congressman who will agree to them in their face will never agree to it, because they love our money, Robert. We're talking about $50, $60, $80, $90 billion a year, free and clear for Kentucky, for Missouri, for Alabama. These are the states that pay less federal taxes than what they receive. They get more from the Fed than what they pay into the government. So of course they love America. Of course they love the United States. They're getting free money from them, and it's our money, Robert. So the Republicans, yeah, they can say, yeah, we hate you, California. Yeah, go. They have been, but their congressman will sing a different song when it comes to time to vote on it in Congress. So that's that.
And so let's just say the Senate votes it down, because you said it needs 2/3 to approve. Is there any legal loophole around that?
So now we're approaching a philosophical concept. This is political, up for political debate, and it goes down to, this is for me. This is my take on it. Now everything that we're talking about here is pure speculation. Everything is dependent on how the California people feel, how they feel they want to progress towards independence. This is not up to me or up to anybody in independent California or my organization or anything like that. It's up to the people of California how they want to move forward with independence. Okay. Now, in saying that, this is how much I believe in independence. Now, if the 2/3 of the Congress fail, they say, no, California, you cannot leave. Now, I wouldn't understand why it would even go to that, because for me, to boil it down, it would come down to, does the slave ask his master to be free? No. I don't care what the United States votes on. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care if they want us to stay, if they want us to leave. I don't care about the 2/3 vote. The first step of independence, if you really want to be independent, it's not a handshake from the other side. It's not a piece of paper that you sign. It's believing it in yourself. Now, that may sound cheesy, but it's true. If you believe you're independent, you will be independent.
So besides the legal issues, how important do you see it as people actually identifying Californian as their nationality?
I feel that's the number one step that's needed for our initiative to pass. It's for people to start identifying themselves as Californians rather than Americans.
And to what degree was Calexit a response to Trump? Because let's just say, looking to the future, we have Biden and Kamala Harris. Like, what would be the case that you would make to people who are like Democrats who are saying like, oh, if Trump loses, we don't need this?
So I would have to point out that, yeah, there are lots of Democrats that would feel that way. And to them, all I have to say is there is no difference between Trump and Biden. There's no difference between Clinton and Obama. There's no difference between Bush. And these people have been taking advantage of California and riding on our coattails for decades. This two-party system is what we got to shake Californians out of. They need to stop identifying themselves as Democrats. Democrat is an American political party. It's not a Californian political party. They do nothing for us. They have never done. Pelosi, I agree with everybody in the United States, all you Republicans out there, Pelosi is a waste of space. Absolute waste of space. She needs to get going. She needs to get out of it. She's one of the most, I don't know if you want to call it skilled or corrupt.
It seems probably both, but if you look at like Kamala Harris's record, obviously her record on criminal justice, and what do you think about what she did covering up for Steve Mnuchin as Attorney General?
So it's Kamala the cop. She's a same thing. She's fake, guys. Listen, we know her. We know exactly who she is. She knows what strings to pull, and she's been pulling the Democrat strings for a decade now. She used to lock parents up. Now lower underprivileged people. They would she would lock parents up if their kid missed school.
She boasted about it.
She was proud of it for crying out loud. And it made the situation even worse for these people. I mean, you put them in jail. How are they supposed to work to get food on the table for their family already? I mean, most of these people are single parent families. I mean, you can't. The audacity of her. She did it to please a certain elite, and she did. They were happy with her, and that's all she's gonna play to as well when she's in office. And if I was Biden, I'd probably sleep with one eye open, knowing her. Just be careful, Biden. That's all I got to say. You seem like a career politician as well, but I don't think you realize who your vice president is about to be. So,
Collexit as a movement is it's an important trend, but I think also getting better leadership within California, because I do think like the Democratic establishment has failed in California. Either alternative candidates who maybe are running as Democrats or some kind of a third party, because I think the way things are now is like a one-party state is it's a reaction to the sort of American political system. But absolutely, if there was a new independent nation, do you envision a multi-party state in a more kind of like a parliamentary type system where minor parties have representation?
Absolutely. Yeah, I do. I do. I feel that we need a lot more parties than just two. I really hope that happens. I'm a socialist libertarian, and to explain what that is, you had a guest on, I believe it was last week. He was from East Texas. He just came out as being gay. I'm not sure, but he was describing how his community in Texas live as far as he was giving an example of they needed siding on the wall. The community came out. They chopped down a tree. They put.
I'm not sure if you saw the other. I did another interview with the Republican Socialist candidate for Senate in Kansas, Brian Matlock. I interviewed him.
Oh, is that him?
Oh, I think they're two different people. You're thinking of the one with River Page, who's an independent commentator, but Republican socialism is like an ideology. But that's yeah, I think so. Building up communities is very important, and with the way things are now, I think people are too dependent on big institutions, whether they're corporations or state bureaucracies.
Absolutely right. Yes, absolutely. I mean, if we can get so as an independent nation, California, we'd have counties broken up. You almost think of them as states. We can have our gun laws per county. We can make we can make each community see the law according to how fit their own. And I think when we bring it down to a form of localism, where we're relying on local community for your basic necessities, and if on relying on that localism, it builds a network almost across the nation, even the United States. I think that's just a better way of operating. It's just a better way of living your life, so we're not beholden to these corporations who have bought the U.S. government, bought the media, and have trained us, not me anymore, but a lot of Americans, have trained them to get their conditioning from a few sources on TV. And it's quite sad. It's quite pathetic. And I don't know how to shake this loose. I mean, Robert, honestly, how do you see the United States in the next year? Regardless who wins.
Yeah, it's going to be either like the other side is going to be they're going to be angry, and it's just totally divided. Like, I don't see both sides have their idea of what the other side will do. It could very well just be like gridlock and nothing gets accomplished.
No matter who wins.
Yeah, regardless if it wins.
Half the country will be angry regardless. They will all be on the streets. That's already unexpected. We're all going to be it's a given. I mean, the stock market, the New York Stock Exchange, the market, it's being bailed out every day with $1 trillion from the Fed. The Fed is giving Wall Street $1 trillion every day. And at the end of the day, Wall Street gives it back. That's a government bailout.
Yeah, it certainly is. And with a new California nation, with economic policies, would you be open to looking into ideas like a public bank or nationalizing big tech monopolies into a public utility?
Absolutely. These are all things that have already gone on the and again, these things have already been brought up locally as far as countywide, as far as county. Hasn't been brought up within the state yet. But absolutely, that's already been talked about. The public banking, it got, again, it lost in the county, because LA County, because you had big corporate banks pay for their nice big commercials and just influence everybody. And same with the public utilities, man. They just have the money, they have the funds, they have the advertising to influence how people think and control how they think. And an interesting point, I mean, if CalExit wanted this initiative to pass, we already know, because we've talked to the marijuana people. It took them 25 years to do this, and then finally they told us exactly how they did it. And it took them almost $25 million on the low end to get marijuana to pass. And with that, it came, one, polls. So we had to do a poll, a couple of them, and then we had to educate the public on those polls. So advertising, and that's where the bulk of the money went. The bulk of the money went to advertising on TV and on billboards. And that's just how you're going to get something through to the public. And the public bank got shot down because the other side had the funds to do that. And same with our utilities. They just had the money and it got shot down. But that's not to say that the organizations that put that up aren't still trying. In fact, this time we have the public bank.
Familiar with Ellen Brown, who ran for treasurer with the Green Party?
No, not Ellen Brown. When did she run?
4 to 6 years ago.
No, not. Sorry.
So she's one of the main advocates for a public bank. I think that is on the California National Party platform as well. Are you sympathetic to something like granting each county like semi-autonomy, sort of similar, but something like giving each county its own autonomy?
Pretty much. I mean, I don't see any other way of respecting communities than by doing it by the county. By the county. I mean, if you want to have really lax gun laws in one county and really strict gun laws in another county, be careful where you're driving to and with what you have in your car. I mean, if you don't like the gun laws in this county, move to another county. If you don't like the marriage laws in this county, move to another county. I would be willing. Now, that's my opinion, of course. I'd be willing to. I would hope that California would be like that as far as its counties, have more autonomy. I mean, at the end of the day, this is about freedom, right, Robert? I mean, this is about choice. I mean, I see it diminishing and going away every day, year by year, in the United States, and I refuse to let California go with it.
Well, the surveillance state is huge issues, both with the government, but also with tech companies and lack of privacy. A lot of the main tech companies, like Google, are based out of California, but the regulations that impact them are from Washington D.C., so they're intertwined.
Our servers are in they were in Iceland, now they're in Switzerland, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because there is no security. What security in the United States? Your information is sold to the highest bidder, period, end of story. I mean, it's not like that in Canada. Canada is another great country that has good internet security, that the government does protect its citizens. But in the United States, absolutely not.
If CalExit were to happen, I do think big tech could decentralize more. So instead of being concentrated in Silicon Valley, it could be... Some of it might move to New York or Toronto, could emerge as a hub. But, I mean, I'm actually okay with that. I think the state could still, remain innovative.
So, yeah, I mean, this state will always be innovative. It nurtures it. I mean, every governor we've had, except for maybe Schwarzenegger, as far as startups and your investment capital, if they like those numbers, they are going to give you huge breaks to start up. Tesla, I think, has not shown a profit ever. They've always... been in the red, yet the investors have, of course, it's all government funded it's a government-funded company, Tesla. But California loved them. California started loving them first before the feds. And we're going to nurture it. And I think Tesla got a little too much nurturing. I think they need to be – I think they – you know, he said he wanted to leave. And for us, we're like, go. Bye-bye. Bye, Elon. Go. Take off, please. Go somewhere else. You don't like our worker laws? Go, please. We want the companies to leave. Not, you're getting me wrong. Once you grow and once you're established, we want to give that money to the next set of new emerging companies. It's how California grows. I mean, geez, you get so big at a point in a company where you start seeing not only federal regulations but the state regulations. Oh, why are you being?
Yeah, regulations need to be changed to make it easier to become like a small scale entrepreneur. Like, a lot of people are successful, but some people consider it to be like a pipe dream. Or there are statistics on the number of new businesses started, but I've heard it's as high as 90%. So the regulations need to be encourage entrepreneurship, and then also
For people
who are independent contractors as well.
So I actually think it's already like that. You're right. 90% of businesses, first-time corporations do fail. 80-90%, something like that. They do fail within their first year. Now, look, I mean, I think here in California, we do encourage the small businesses. We have the most amount of small businesses, the most amount of Fortune 500s here in one state. We do encourage that. But I think there comes a point when you get so big, like Toyota, now Tesla. When you get so big that it's not just the state regulations are a burden, Fed regulations are also a burden at this point. You do get big where you start pushing back against the hand that feeds you, so to speak. And Tesla is now starting to do that. I mean, the reason why he's fighting the state about the worker standards is because he hasn't made any money with the company. It's always been in the red. They've never shown a profit. That's why. I'm sure if Tesla was making hand over fist money and he wasn't worried about the company, he would have no issue with making those changes at his facility to make sure that his workers are safe. But he has issues with the profit line, Robert, and that's the truth of it. California does nurture small businesses.
When you get these detractors who are critical of California, like some arguments I hear people say California has the worst income inequality, the highest poverty rate, lowest in education. When these arguments get put out, do you have a rebuttal to those, or would you say those are serious issues and you would put that back to failure of leadership, whether it's the federal government or existing leadership? So you debated Tucker Carlson, and he would often make that point about California having the worst inequality. So would you have a rebuttal to that, or would you just say those problems are because of the failure of the existing leadership and the federal government?
So, I mean, I think our biggest failure right now, and I'm glad to see like some of these people leaving California. Like I said, our housing prices. I think it's they're way too high because everybody wants to live here. Hopefully more people leave so we can, you know, grow our middle class up more, a little bit more. I mean,
I think the comment, it was provocative and it did go viral. I think it was interpreted that you're saying we should have a state without a middle class where everyone's a tech CEO, or everyone's homeless. So can you kind of like explain what happened on Tucker and then clarify your position about the middle class?
Absolutely. So he says, he brought up some talking point about the middle class is leaving California. Now, I never heard that in my life, but I knew people moved out of California. It isn't a big deal. It still isn't a big deal. But to the right-wing talking points, people are leaving California in droves. There's a mass exodus, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I think it was, 200,000 people left last year or something? I mean, Robert, I live in L.A. There's not even 200,000 people in my count. Dude, there's 200,000 people on my block probably, man. I mean, that's such a nothing number. We're a $2.8 trillion economy. I mean, I don't – these facts and figures that people bring up with California, you can't compare us to the other states. You just can't. We have to compare us to other nations, okay? And if you compare us to other nations, we're on par. But let's get back to Tucker Carlson and how he how the spin boy worded that. Yeah, it came out as if I didn't want a middle class there because I didn't care that the middle class was leaving. In actuality, I if you want to move out of California, move out of California. And if you go, I hope our housing prices come down, really, because they're out of control. But we're a middle class factory, Robert. You come here broke. You do make your – you work hard. You do come up. That's what it used to be said in the United States. Not anymore. But in California, it's true. You come here, you work, you come up. That's because we have an open immigration, an open policy on people. We want more people to come here. There's a direct correlation between population and GDP. The higher your population, the higher your GDP. It's not a secret. It's very well known in any basic econ class.
The overall GDP or GDP per capita?
Either GDP per capita is a direct correlation. Direct. You can see it. As a country's population rises, so does their GDP. As a country's population decreases, so does their GDP. It's just a basic, and we just stick with that fact. And that's why we encourage more people to come here. And that's why when you come here, you look around here, nobody looks the same here. Everybody's from somewhere else. And that adds to our culture. And that's a whole other thing. Let's get back to the economics of it.
Well, with population growth, a big thing is zoning. So I was looking at, if you go look over like the Silicon Valley, which is considered like a key economic center, most of it is zoned for just like one-story buildings. So how would you grow the population under existing zoning laws?
I can't speak for the whole entire state, but 50% of our land is federal government. So in fact, most of those fires that are happening is on federal government land, which we can't even go on. We'd like to get that back first. As far as zoning laws, I mean, geez, come on, that all can be changed. Not worried about that. But I will say this, as more people do come here, and we do realize that our population grows, our infrastructure grows as well. And so we spend a lot of money rebuilding, adding. The zoning laws constantly change. So I'm not too worried about that. We still want people to come here. Because then when there's more people here, that's more work for you. That's more people buying food, buying cars, more money, more people put to work and being a contributing part of society and a growing society. It's not a secret. It's not a secret. And the rest of the United States has this build a wall policy. It's just mind-blowing. It's stagnating. It's stagnatingly mind-blowing, man. It doesn't make sense to me. And you brought up a couple things here. What would my rebuttal be to highest poverty rate?
I guess just the basic, like the highest poverty rate. Another argument I heard is that it has the worst income inequality, some of the worst income inequality.
Compared to who, Robert? Highest poverty rate compared to who? Because you'll find that we're not that bad. The road. We're middle of the road. This is the only argument they have. And you can't compare. We're $2.8 trillion, Robert. Trillion. Nobody comes close to that. We're on a different metric. And I'm tired of being compared to the rest of the United States. I'm tired of being compared. I'm tired of Wisconsin making economic decisions in Congress for us.
Are there any foreign nations that you see as models that you'd want to emulate?
Oh, me personally? Yeah. There's a ton. Are you kidding me? Absolutely. I don't know where to start. I'm Canada, England, France's parliamentary system, Australia, Singapore is way too small for me to, they're so lucky they're so small. They can try anything, and if it doesn't work, they can scrap it so quick it doesn't even matter because it's a city.
I'm not sure if this is part of what you're advocating, but I would also actually ideally like it so there were many city states, so you could have, it could be Colexit. Each region could function as a city-state, so it would almost be like its own country. That's what I'm sympathetic to that idea.
Same, you know, me too. I'm on the same page. That's what I would like to see as well. Again, it's not up to me, though. It's up to Californians and how they want to move forward with it. But that would be my ideal as well. Absolutely.
We're getting close to the end of the show. Shankar, is there anything else you'd like to plug about the legal process and political prospects for Colexit? And also, like, if you want to plug your website and the signatures.
Absolutely. So everybody leaning to the right, any right-wingers, you want to see California go, make a donation to see it go. Put your money where your mouth is. Go to www.independentca.org and make a donation, because that's all we think about all day is leaving the United States. And if you despise us as much, please donate directly to us, because if you give it to your congressman, he's not going to tell your congressman, he's not going to do anything about it. So, and you know that. I know that. I think the whole entire planet knows that about our Congress. So you can go to www.independentca.org to make that donation. Also, if you want to know anything about the entire movement, the CalExit movement, spanning five organizations from San Diego all the way on up to Eureka, you can go to CaliforniaIndependentMovement.org, CIM.org, CaliforniaIndependentMovement.org, IndependenceMovement.org. That is the umbrella website, which has everybody in it. If you want to join CalExit and you want to see where you would fit in, go to the CIM site, and you can see where your efforts would be utilized the most. You can use that site as a kind of a map. But that's it. And I'll send you a link to the initiative once it's up. I think you're going to be surprised by it. And if you want another interview after that, absolutely, Robert.
Yeah, that would be great. Shankar Singham, it has been an excellent show. Thanks for being on. It will be interesting to watch what happens with CalExit.
Thank you. Thank you, Robert.